And there we go, everyone. We are back again for another fantastic conversation on Friday Night Counterattack. This week we are at the end of Ramadan, hence why I'm still wearing my thobe. And Eid will be upon us soon, which will be great. I want to wish everyone a very happy Eid, whoever's celebrating. Everyone, I hope you've enjoyed your Ramadan. But we are back to business this week. And if we are talking about business, we need someone who stands upon business, someone who is going to be watching his team look to stand upon business in the Champions League, in the Premier League. Although this man himself has said, I'd rather we get knocked out of the Champions League off camera. So I want to make sure, are you still going to be back in that on camera? Matthew from Back in the Net podcast. Good to have you, my friend. What's your thoughts on Arsenal dropping out of the Champions League just so you focus on the league?
Nah, thanks for having me on, man. I don't remember saying that off camera, to be fair.
It's a voice note, ladies and gentlemen. It's a voice note. I'm ready for this one.
Nah, do you know what? I always said quarterfinals minimum. We're there now. I feel like we need to get a bit of, you know, revenge on Bayern Munich. Then I'm good. But listen, we're there now. Whatever happens, happens. And it was the minimum we wanted. But we're doing well.
Doing well indeed, which would be great to see. And a lot of teams in this list that we're talking about have done so well in the past. And your team has been, I reckon your team will be featured with this list as well. Because for anyone who's clicking on this list thinking, what the hell is nearly men or nearly teams or the second place? It's literally the best Premier League teams in the Premier League era who didn't win the Premier League. And this is going to be very, very difficult because we've got a Man United fan and an Arsenal fan on this chat. So we're going to have to be very, very disciplined with who we're picking in this list as well. And the worst thing is, it's a joint list. So everyone at home will be making their own list, but we have to be so vigilant not to go Man United, Arsenal for this list as well, leaving all these other teams out who we will be getting onto later down the line as well, which will be crazy to think about as well. But before we get onto this, Matthew, I need to say, I think I'm ready for this one. Are you ready for this one?
Always ready. As you said, I stand on business.
We're standing on business tonight. This is great. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the Premier League nearly men, the Premier League nearly teams, and because I haven't got a work, it's a working title, ladies and gentlemen. The best Premier League teams not to win the Premier League title. And instead of going from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we are going to go just by discussing some of these teams. And then at the end, Matthew, what we'll do, because it is two of us, we will then have our list of teams that we can join in together as well. So I think, personally, from my point of view, I'd like to see you start off from the Arsenal 1999 team that finished second to Manchester United's treble winning side as well. Let me hear your thoughts on this one, because that was a smooth team by Arsene Wenger. He was the Premier League champion at the time as well. They finished 1 point behind Manchester United. You had a young Nicolas Anelka and Dennis Bergkamp. They were top scorers in that season with 17 goals for Anelka, 12 for Dennis Bergkamp respectively. Only conceded 17 goals, 20 fewer than Manchester United's 37, and they only scored 59 goals, so 21 fewer than Man United's 80 goals as well. But that was a very, very tough season between Manchester United and Arsenal. You could say it's one of the best ever seasons in the Premier League history as well, from a neutral point of view, seeing two heavyweights slug it out until the final day of the season. But I want to know your thoughts on Arsenal's 1999 team that finished second behind Manchester United's treble winning side.
You know what? It was such a crazy time as an Arsenal fan then, because I didn't really see any other team other than Manchester United causing us a problem in the league. And, you know, Fergie and Arsene, they had this. Do you remember back in the day how they used to build up the games and the rivalry? Like, you couldn't beat it. That's why when people talk about the rivalries nowadays, I'm like, there's no comparison, literally. That team that was built there was fantastic. And if I'm correct, I think it was the kit when we had, I think it was red, and it had the, I think there was a strip here on the
JVC
shoulder here. JVC kit, yes, loved it, like, honestly. And that was Nicolas Anelka, curly hair, Mark Overmars, Petit.
Oh, I love Mark Overmars. Absolutely adored him as a footballer, fantastic player.
You know, so mad that I think you might know someone else, but I don't think I ever saw anyone that quick back then. Like, he was the first player I saw in the league that fast. And I remember thinking, who the hell is this guy? Like, and he was both.
Ryan Giggs entered the chat. Ryan Giggs was entering the chat at that time. I mean, he was quick from the beginning anyway. Got Giggs and then you had Overmars in terms of speed, from what I saw anyway. John Barnes was probably a bit before my time, but I know he was a very quick player going through at Liverpool as well. Stephen Madden, maybe? I don't know. He was a bit of a wizard.
I don't think it was Overmars quick, though. Overmars speed was like different. Like, he was small as well. He had his little legs going as well. And he could finish. You know, pivotal goals for Arsenal. But yeah, as I said, that treble team, United.
Whilst I've got you on Overmars, start bench sell. Quick one.
Okay.
Start bench sell, Arsenal edition. Mark Overmars, Robert Pires, Alexis Sanchez. Arsenal's left wingers, bad man, absolutely terrible to face against as well. They were one of the best three left wingers we've seen at Arsenal in my history of watching football. Start bench sell, Mark Overmars, Dennis Bergkamp. Mark Overmars, Alexis Sanchez, Robert Pires. Three iconic left wingers for Arsenal. Choice is yours, Matthew.
So we go sell.
I know who you want to sell, but it's very difficult for you to sell him for what he's done for Arsenal. Very, very difficult.
Alexis, what he did for us, man. Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? I'm going to do it. I don't care what people say. I'm going to sell. Do you know what? I'm going to sell Alexis.
Oh, why?
Do you know what it is? I feel... Again,
it saved you from being a banter team in that last period of Arsene Wenger as well, for what he did for you.
He did, but again, I'm going back to what I loved about Arsenal back then, and it's a nostalgia thing with me. Overmars, you know, the goal against FA Cup as well. FA Cup, do you remember Newcastle?
Newcastle,
FA Cup, the goal against Man United as well, and what he brought. Honestly, he was fantastic. But Pires has to start. Pires is... Like, I think what's so fascinating about Pires is he wasn't the quickest, but the stuff he used to do with the football and the little combination he had with Cashley Cole, as they call him, was so potent on the left-hand side. And some of the goals he scored, do you remember the Liverpool at Anfield? I remember the goal against Southampton from the halfway line, killed it in.
Southampton in the FA Cup final as well.
Yes, exactly. And one of my favourites of all time was the one versus Aston Villa, the lob over Schmeichel. That
gold kit.
And I remember him doing the celebration at Andy Gray. Yeah, you know, ball. Guys, Hamza knows ball. But like, honestly, got a period of starts for me. You know, I'm going to come back with one for you. That was a good one. Very good one.
We'll go through a few start bench sales if the mood hits as well. It's the last few days of Ramadan at the time recording, so I might get a bit peckish, if you know what I mean. But back to this Arsenal team as well. I personally think they're going to be in the top five for me. I think it's a really good start to look at this Arsenal team as well. But just going through that team back to front, Matthew, you had some real superstars in there. Why don't you tell the audience a bit more about, besides Overmars, besides Bergkamp and Elka, who were some of the unsung heroes in there? Because you had a couple of World Cup winners in that team, if I remember correctly, as well.
Yeah, do you know the one that doesn't get enough credit? And it's a bit of a rant and people are going to be like, God, what the hell? But if you look at players like Ray Parler, right? You know, the thing with him, what he brought, and I feel like it's very important not to lose, to have someone that's passionate and can run around and really get stuck in. And Parley used to make a big difference to that team. He was absolutely fantastic. I think, and in the latter stages of his career, people, I think he went Middlesbrough, was it, after that, if I recall?
I think so, yeah. Availability is the best ability, because Ray Parler always was available for Arsenal when he was playing on that right wing, before Freddie Ljungberg was the mainstay as well.
No, this is it. And I don't see, I was going to say, does he know ball? I'm thinking, was it? I know Seymour was in goal. I'm trying to think who the left back was. It's bugging me, you know.
You had Winterburn and Dixon, though.
Yeah, Winterburn. But I'm thinking, it was after. I was thinking of Nelson Vivas. But
that Silvino. Silvino,
yes. Nelson Vivas would have been after. Silvino scored that banging goal versus, was it Celta Vigo? And he scored one against Chelsea as well.
You wait for Celta Vigo.
See, come on now. Yeah.
You had Keown at the back, you had Adams at the back, Boulder just retired, and you had Obviously, the World Cup runner I was referring to was Emmanuel Petit, and you had Patrick Vieira in that midfield as well, which is iconic to think about. Even just now, Petit and Vieira, what a combination that was.
Fantastic combination, honestly. And, yeah, like you said, a lot of them, there was no really major injuries, I don't think, with that squad as well. And Arsenal had that team unlocked, but it's just unfortunate at the time we come up against such a tremendous Manchester United team.
So if we're going to unanimously agree that this Arsenal team makes the list and we're going to reserve them for our top five, would you say?
Yeah, I would say so. That's fine.
Nicely done.
So I'm coming back for you now.
That's fine. You know, this is how we're rolling on this one. It's not Hamza's going to dictate the play by putting all the Man United runner-up teams, Bruno Fernandes in 2022 runner-up. Yeah, he's definitely going to be it. No. Matthew, come on. Let me see if I know.
Man United fan. So what were you saying for Manchester United 2011-2012 season? We're talking Vincent, was it? No, not Vincent. Yeah, Vincent Kompany header, 1-0 win, QPR, Man City being QPR. Where would you put that team?
I'm putting that one probably 8 or 9 for me personally. Not 10, but 8 or 9 because drawing on points, final game of the season, one goal separating it, literally... The fact that we had Rooney as our top scorer as well. We had amazing games that game. We had 8-2 that season against Arsenal. Beat Chelsea 3-0 at Old Trafford as well. 5-0 versus Bolton. We had just come back from winning the league the season before and post goals and Gary Neville had retired as well the previous season. So we were looking to replace with new players coming in. Phil Jones coming in. Ashley Young coming in. Edwin van der Sar retired as well. So we had David De Gea making mistakes after mistakes all the way up until February or so. And even then, he was still being rotated by Andres Lindegaard, our backup keeper. So we were never really stable at the back, unfortunately. But we had a very potent Wayne Rooney up front. We had Rooney. We had Danny Welbeck, who got injured a lot. Javier Hernandez. We got knocked out of the Champions League in the group stages that year. As well, yes. I remember this season vividly because it was the first time I moved out of London and I moved to Walsall at that time as speaker as well. So I remember that season potently because it was my big escape at the time, watching football, watching Manchester United. I remember all of these games, like I was there at Old Trafford, and in this team, it was a fantastic team to watch because it was the team where Man United tried to play a lot more like Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, tiki-taka football, faster pace. We dropped Berbatov and Michael Owen, who were big players from our season before as well, when we won the league. Berbatov was just going to be a bench player for the rest of the season. Owen barely got into the squad because we had Javier Hernandez, Danny Welbeck coming through. We wanted to play faster players. We wanted to play Federico Makeda unless he got injured all the time as well. It was a good team. It was a really, really good team. But again, we just missed out on the... Champions League, like I said, on the group stages. We never got far in the FA Cup. I think losing to Liverpool away that season as well. And it was very, very difficult because we also lost 6-1. That's the why always me, Mario Balotelli. Mario Balotelli season as well, which was unfortunate for me because Mario Balotelli's only assist in a Manchester City shirt came for Sergio Aguero's last minute iconic.
That's so mad.
Why always me? So... It was always going to be Mario Balotelli season. Seen in the spotlights as well. Wayne Rooney said recently as well, he's like, why did QPR just give the ball back straight away to Manchester City? There must have been some match fixing involved. And for me, when I'm watching it back, I'm thinking there must have been some match fixing because how did they lose the ball straight away from kickoff and it goes to a corner straight away? It's just like we saw recently, the Cole Palmer goal after the penalty, just lose the ball straight away as well. It's the same thing, match fixing involved by the Premier League right there. But I've got to put this team 9 or 8 because I think it's a fantastic team. Very underrated team. And this was the last time. This was basically Sir Alex Ferguson's last dance. I personally think if he won the league that season, he would have retired and gone off into the sunset. Yeah. He wanted that final moment. That's why he stayed another season and won the league the season afterwards as well. What do you think, Matt?
I agree. I feel like that United team were good. And was it Sunderland that you had beaten on that final day?
Yeah.
Waiting for the... I agree with you. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about the match fixing, but it was a weird game at QPR one. And I feel like even if you're not a United fan, everyone remembers where they were that day. And I remember I was at work and I remember one of my managers was a Man United fan. He had it on the radio and he kept walking past as the Man United game had finished. He was like, Matt, there's 1 minute. Oh my gosh, just maybe. And honestly, 20 seconds later, I've never seen someone so despondent. That must have been a sore one, honestly. Must be very, very painful.
I was at my uncle's house. We were watching it. We were watching the QPR game because that was more important because Man United were winning 1-0. And it was at the time of Sky Sports. I think they still do it now, to be fair, where they kept showing game by game. If there's a goal, they'd show it on the screen. So it's perfectly fine. I just remember being so despondent. I was recording my live reactions on Twitter because I was very big on Twitter at the time. And I was like, this is not looking good, bruv. Young Hams was not... He was not the calm and sophisticated guy that you see now, the best, well, and elegantly dressed guy as you see now. But yeah, it wasn't great at all. And then I was just despondent for like 10 minutes and I went into the garden and just carried on playing cricket, I think, or badminton I was playing. But it was one of those things where just like, at the time, it's like, okay, we'll win it next year. And we did win it next year. Yeah. But we never knew how difficult it would be to win again after that next year as well. But yeah, solid team for Man United. The start of something special for Manchester City. I'm happily going to keep this team around 8th, I'd say, for Manchester United. But we'll leave it around 8th or 9th for now. No certain place, because my one for you, this is going to be one because I want you to kind of delegate this one a bit more as well. We are going, not to Arsenal this time. I wanted someone else to do this one because it would have been so, so funny to get their reaction. Tottenham Hotspur, 2015-2016, when they came third in a two-horse race behind Arsenal and Leicester City. Leicester City, who are now in the Championship. Tottenham Hotspur, who are acting like every single game they are going to win the league under Ange Postecoglou. Behave. Mauricio Pochettino came into Spurs and he was absolutely killing it. And then you're looking at this team, young Dele Alli in his first season in the Premier League, stepping up from League One in MK Dons. Moussa Dembele, who was absolutely sizzling being a withdrawn midfielder as opposed to being a number 10 where he was at Fulham. He was then playing a lot more deeper, which made it a lot easier for him. Eric Dier had his best season as a defensive midfielder. Jan Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld in their first combined season together. This team name you can just roll off the place. Kyle Walker, Danny Rose, and Kyle Walker recently said if he had two more years at Tottenham, if that team had two more years, they would have been competing for a league title.
I agree.
Christian Eriksen, oh my days. I'm still a big fan of him and I'm really annoyed that he doesn't get as much game time this season under Erik ten Hag. But with the emergence of Kobbie Mainoo, it's hard to fit Christian Eriksen elsewhere in this Erik ten Hag side, but we should still play him, in my opinion. Of course, Harry Kane and a young human son at the time speaking as well, which is crazy to think about. Matthew, where are you putting the scene? Because this was a different Tottenham Hotspur. This was an incredible looking Tottenham Hotspur side. What are you thinking for this one?
This one I put at the... What did we put the first Arsenal one? I'd put this one at like the midway point-ish for 5. Because I feel like...
I put 5 on mine. I'm going for 5.
5. Yeah, 4 or 5 or 6. Fantastic. You know what is with this first team? It was a complete team. You know, sometimes you look at a starting 11 and it's like there's a weakness somewhere. But that team was just solid. Like the front three of Son, Kane, Ali did their thing. The back four was fantastic. Walker and Rose on either flank. But do you know who the main guy was for me? And this is where I think Tottenham went wrong. Moussa Dembele.
The thing is, with Moussa Dembele, I personally think, literally, this is what comes up a lot now. When a person retires or they move away, they get a lot of their flowers. But at the time of speaking, now, you're thinking about Moussa Dembele being an amazing footballer. He was at the time as well, but because you're looking at centre midfielders, only now, when you're thinking about it, they get the plaudits, the hype and the praise that they do. Not from just social media, not from just fans in the stadium, not from mainstream media, but everywhere. When you're looking at, even if you're looking at the midfielders at the time, Santi Cazorla for Arsenal wasn't getting the highlights and the plaudits he was for Arsenal at the time as well. Looking at Michael Carrick for Manchester United, he never got it at all. And it was really unfortunate to see. Looking at title winners at the time, who was it? Danny Drinkwater didn't get much for Leicester. And N'Golo Kante only got it because he was the title winning centre midfielder, the one who they bought in for Leicester City. And then you're looking at Manchester City as well. Who do they have? Fernandinho, Fernando, Sami Naji, I think, was leaving at the time. But a lot of their centre midfielders in that Premier League era, they weren't hyped up, mostly because of the ones over in Spain who were absolutely flying. Toni Kroos, Luka Modric, Xavi, Iniesta, Rakitic, Busquets, Banega, all of them were balling out in the Europa League, the Premier League, La Liga, UEFA Champions League as well. They were absolutely flying when they were doing it. in the Premier League at the time, it's more about the wingers and the strikers, from my point of view anyway, because that's why you got the hype on like Harry Kane, you had the hype on Christian Eriksen as an attack midfielder. Dele Alli, of course, as well, the attack midfielder. That's where he got so many goals in that season as well. But I get your point completely with that one. But Moussa Dembele is someone who we've spoken about highly before and will always continue to speak about highly as well, which will be great to see. But I'd say this team is a pretty good five for me as well. Middle of the table for our top 10 list. Very good team in what they had. Mauricio Pochettino was absolutely fantastic with the Spurs side, and I don't know if he's ever going to win a league title at Chelsea, but he had a very, very good time trying to lead the Spurs side to a top-of-the-table finish back in 2015-16, which is crazy to think about. My final question to you, Matthew, were you scared of this Tottenham side when they were playing against Arsenal, when they were competing at the top of the table? Were you scared? Imagine if this happened. Imagine if Spurs won a league title before Arsenal.
Kinda. No, do you know what it was? No, because they were physically strong. Harry Kane was scoring goals. Ali was at the peak then. Dembele, as we mentioned, couldn't get the ball off him. Back four was solid. And
back to Wanyama as well.
Exactly. And he does Hugo Lloris as well at the start. You know, like when he was quality goalkeeper. He declined quite quickly, but that's when he was at the top of his game. So, yeah, and Poch had them. You know, Poch had them playing very well. The system was perfect. Is what he did at Southampton with that Southampton team. He just transferred it over to Tottenham with the fullbacks, the midfielder playing the same way up top. Kane, as I said, Kane's son was smashing it, Ali as well. And it was scary. But you know, as an Arsenal fan, you don't really admit that at the time. It's only the time's done now.
St. Tottenham's day was big that year, if I remember correctly, because you overtook them and you're like, damn, you're at the top of the table for so long and it didn't work your way, Spurs fans. Crazy.
It is what it is. Typical Spurs, hey? What can we say?
What can we say? Indeed. Now they're getting overly gassed for no reason at all. But making our way into the list, Spurs 2015-2016. Oh, my days. Matthew, what have we got from your side? What have you got for me?
Oh, we're going for a good one. So we're going, you know, you played Liverpool this weekend. We're going to go with Liverpool 2018-19.
I'd be stupid, and you would be stupid not to have them one or two for me. Excellent team. Absolutely excellent team.
Scary, isn't it? That's one of the scariest teams I ever remember playing. Like, you just felt you were going to get smacked 5-6-0. Like, they had everything.
I'm looking at this, and in that season as well, Man United stopped them from winning the league as well, which is the craziest thing. I was at the game where Man United played Liverpool in that 2018-2019 year season, where they won the Champions League, and they got to the final day of the season, and they didn't win because they got 97 points total, but they drew 0-0 at Old Trafford back in 2019. And we had three first-half substitutions because there were so many injuries, which is crazy to think about as well. So I'm thinking, could it happen again? Could history repeat itself again? Jurgen Klopp denied at Old Trafford again. Two times, I would say, which is crazy. But let's go through some of their information as well. 97 points that Liverpool side got in 2019. Enough to win the Premier League in 28 of the 31 Premier League seasons as well. Jurgen Klopp's best ever Liverpool side, arguably, because they won the Champions League that year as well. 25 points clear of third place Chelsea. Mohamed Salah scored 27 goals in all competitions. Sadio Mane, 26. Roberto Firmino, 16 in all competitions as well. Alisson got 21 clean sheets, three off the all-time record of Petr Cech. And obviously the best moment in the Premier League for them was a Divock Origi derby winner. It bounced off the crossbar. Jordan Pickford didn't get his hands up. His T-Rex hands, they couldn't get up in time. It bounced off and Origi just tapped it in and Jürgen Klopp ran it onto the pitch as well. But it's very, very funny because in that season as well, that's when Man City won the league at Brighton and Hove Albion. Brighton went 1-0 up and Man City just yeeted Brighton for 4-1 in the end of the day. Amazing Liverpool team. My chest is paining after fasting all day for Ramadan, but it's paining even more after talking glowingly about this Liverpool side. But you'd be stupid not to have this team as one of the best ever Premier League sides not to win the Premier League in this list as well. What's your thoughts, Matthew?
Yeah, do you know what? I was thinking two. Mm. It's too early to say one because we don't know what else we've got yet. But yeah, that Liverpool team was just so scary. I feel like the Mane Salah combination with Firmino, the way they could just rotate the three of them. In midfield, they had Henderson. All right, people can say how bad Henderson was, but Henderson was doing a job in that midfield. He really, really was.
And there's not a lot Alisson of praise goal. For players who are very energetic, which is unfortunate because you're getting this with Conor Gallagher now. When a lot of players who are energetic, they don't get praise for what they bring to the team. And football's not always going to be about technical ability. And we're seeing a lot more of football in the Premier League move towards athleticism than technical ability and footballing ability as well. So John Henderson, again, I'm not going to say he's a great player, but he's a great motivator. It's great for players to have on the pitch around him as well. And I get why Gareth Southgate unfortunately picks him in the squad, but he may not be the best footballer anymore. But at the time, he was doing it for Liverpool and he was the captain that, remember, Jordan Henderson is going to go down as the captain that won the first Premier League for Liverpool and the Champions League in Madrid for Liverpool as well. So he's won one more Premier League than Steven Gerrard. It's crazy to think about. As well.
Yeah, no, that was scary. And remember Robertson and Trent on the wing. Like, honestly, the team were just scary. And scary team. And yeah, they do miss Mane. As good as they do. Mane, I just, when they sold him, I kind of felt like that lost the guarantee of winning the Premier League.
You're looking at all of these misses from Gakpo, from Nunes, from, dare I say, Luis Diaz as well, across the whole season. Mane wouldn't miss. He doesn't miss. He couldn't miss when he was at Liverpool. He was in the purple patch of his career playing under Jurgen Klopp. It was the best combination, and we just don't see that anymore. We haven't really seen it with Luis Diaz, and I think if they lose the Premier League, they'll look at all of these missed chances, these ruse charges against like the 4-on-1 against Arsenal, looking at all the missed chances against Manchester United at Old Trafford, the Luis Diaz goal that was ruled out, obviously, against Spurs. That's going to be a big thing for Jurgen Klopp as well. And it goes to show that, again, Sadio Mane would guarantee a lot more of these chances than Luis Diaz would. That's my opinion on it as well.
Yeah, and no, I agree fully, 100%. Indispensable, Sadio Mane, indispensable.
Always.
Who have I got next? So what did you say for that one? Two, yeah?
It's a two. There we go. I was waiting for that one. The audience will be like, what's happening? But if you're watching
I was looking at my next team.
All right, my next team for you. Right, what have we got? Oh, do I want to say this team? Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna talk about a team that I think will get onto the list. It may not be so high. From my point of view, I don't see them as very high, but I'm gonna get your point of view on this one as well. Chelsea, 2007-2008. Remember, they chased Man United the whole way in the Premier League to the last day of the season. And we met in the Champions League final as well. For me, it's a better era than seeing the Liverpool and Man City era because it's two different style of plays, two amazing groups of players as well. Runners-up, again, final day of the season. Crazy to think about as well. But they went through the entire season being unbeaten at home. I don't think they'll be that high, but I want to know your thoughts on where you think this Chelsea team fits, because remember, a draw or a defeat on the final game for Manchester United, and Chelsea win the league after missing it the season before because Man United won it. But let me hear your thoughts, Matthew.
Was that Avram Grant?
Yeah, Avram Grant. I was going to say, does Matt know who the manager was at the time? Avram Grant. After Mourinho lost his job like three games into the season or something as well. So yeah, Avram Grant's Chelsea.
Yeah, because I think that was the season when was it after the Copenhagen game? I think they got rid of Mourinho. Or there was a game, Champions League.
Yeah, it was a Champions League game. And he was like, apparently he said to Abramovich in the training ground, he was like, oh, if you don't want me here, you can get rid of me if you want. And Abramovich was like, okay, cool. And he got rid of him.
Oh, gosh. No, but you know what I liked about the Chelsea team as well? There was a lot of experience in there. Mm. Malouda, Balak, Anelka, Drogba, defensively they look solid as well. I think that was the season they had Alex. I might be wrong.
You did do your homework. Alex was in that team.
Yeah, I think they had Alex as well. So yeah, they were solid. And what a final that was. I know people, they love to see 4-3-5 this, 6 this. That final was fantastic. And that Chelsea team, yeah, they Yeah, Aaron Grant deserves credit in a nutshell, basically, for what he did with that team. And yeah, it's a shame. Oh, Lampard as well. Let's not forget. But yeah, it's a shame he didn't win it, considering obviously they're going to be in at home. But again, United, I don't know. That United just, they're always around, isn't it? When something gets ended, Manchester United just always seem to be around.
They were around. Pest.
Yeah, there's absolute pest. That's what they are. But yeah. But yeah, that Chelsea, and that one I'd go 7-8
I'm happy with 7 or 8, which would be good.
Yeah,
I'm quite happy with that one as well. Because remember that Chelsea team as well. That was a Chelsea team where they were used to winning. They were used to winning against the bigger teams. They're used to winning in European football as well. They had a lot of opportunity to win. Excuse me. They were a game away from winning the league, and they were the penalty kick away from winning the Champions League, and they won the FA Cup the season before. And you're just like thinking Chelsea aren't going away at all. And that's when everyone was calling them Chelsea. So they're still off the money of Roman Abramovich. So, yeah, Chelsea Football Club, they are in this list as well, which would be good. Ooh, where are we going with this one, Matthew? Where's number 6?
You know what? It's you now. How many have we done? Yeah, how many?
We've done 5 in total. So we've done Arsenal, 99. Man United, 2012. Spurs, 2016. Liverpool, 2019. And Chelsea, 2008. So that's 5 down. Yeah. We've got 5 to go.
So this one here, I'm not going to lie, and this is to all the viewers, everyone, this one pains me the most of all. So Hamza, please lead us, show us, take us into Arsenal 08-09. Oh, man.
Do they make the list? Oh, do they make the list? 08-09, you finished what, 3rd that season? Liverpool finished 2nd?
Maybe a 10, but it just pained me. I just had to bring this one up. Let me hear it,
because there were a few where I think Arsenal could get onto this list. Like me personally, I think last season's Arsenal were better than that one, in my opinion.
Oh, no, but yeah. But do you know what? I'll be honest here. People might think I'm mad. The pain of the 08-09 surpasses last season for me.
Let me hear your thoughts. I need to hear this. Why? As to why?
So I looked at that team, and let's not forget, yeah, people didn't expect that team to do well that season, And I think we went on a run where we won like 14 games in 15, like in all comps at the start of that season. And we're doing very well. And then the belief come, and then, you know, William Gallas, number 10, which is blasphemy. I never want to see a defender wearing numbers like that. I'm very fussy on numbers, by the way, guys.
Strong number to have as a defender. Double number 5s.
Double.
What was that? Bentner 26 that season as well? And then his number was 52.
52, God. But yeah, let me break down that game, the Birmingham.
Let's hear
game.
It. Birmingham. You don't know ball, Matthew. That was 2007, 2008.
Oh, was it? Was it a wrong one?
2008. Man. You went a season
was after. Was it?
Yeah, man.
That's the like season I mean.
That's what I was like, 2009. No, Matt doesn't
know. I'm off by a year, guys. But you
just
know.
It's the 365 days a year because you had Eduardo in the team. And like Matthew was saying, you won 14 games in a row, which was incredible. Oh. You were top of the table, man. From like August to February, and that's when it all came crashing down at St. Andrews. What a team you had. Young Van Persie, Eduardo, Adebayor off the bench, Alexander Heleb, Thomas Rosicky, young Cesc Fabregas, Sami Nasri, Alex Song coming through, Abu Diaby when he wasn't injured. Jeez, what a team that was, Matthew. Now I'm getting the bigger picture. Now I'm getting why you mentioned, but again, this is...
Sorry, viewers, for... Oh, wait, sorry, you know, from the time of recording, Matt's had a busy day, guys, so yeah. But yeah,
I like it. Go ahead.
That one was so painful, and I'm going to go into detail. So I remember this day, that day we played Birmingham, I was so confident we were going to win. It was a day, my first ever Arsenal Birmingham. On my phone, I'm checking. I was like, oh, good lineup. Put my phone away. 2-0 up. I'm having the best day of my life. I'm there having fun.
What phone were you using in 2008 to check those lineups for?
I had, was it, I think it was a Samsung or was a Motorola Razr. One of the two.
You had a Motorola Razr and you could check your phone.
No, as in, I was messaging, like someone was messaging me, like not BBC website.
I was going to say, because you would be charged a pretty penny for that back in the day as well.
And I didn't have that.
You had people people who got like free. By the way, listeners, just for the next minute or so, we're talking about phone contracts in 2008. So don't worry about it. We'll get back to the football. You're talking about people who bought certain contracts because they would give certain phones where you could watch in like really bad quality, like 144p quality highlights of the goals. And I remember my cousin showing this to me once. He's like, oh, here's a goal of John Arimarisa versus Man United. And I'm like, I can't see a damn thing. Sony Ericsson phone. It was on a Sony Ericsson phone. He's showing me. I was like, what's the point? It's going to be on TV on Match of the Day on like 8 o'clock or something. 10 o'clock, sorry. Or the ITV highlight show. I don't know what time it was. Forgive me, viewers. But
they used to do two times. One was at 7 and then one was at 10.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. They did it in the next morning as well, Sunday morning as well. It's a beautiful day.
Hey, come on. Love that song. But,
back to football. No longer Sony Ericsson. I don't know what they're about these days. I haven't seen them for a while.
But I remember 2-0 up and then I put my phone away and I'm like, what more do you want? So I'm all buying the food, the drink, and then Hamza. I've checked my phone.
Where do you go on a date? That's what I care more about.
It was a shopping centre and we'd gone to like TGI Fridays or something like that.
Ooh.
And then so Hamza, I'm spending because I'm buzzing. I'm going to return.
You're outside. Young Matthew's outside at the time.
I'm buying. Oh my God. 2-1 and I thought, cool, that's all right. When I saw the final score of 2-2, Hamza, I don't remember half the day after that. I genuinely don't remember half the day. I was so
stressed. It's just a blur. You're just going home and you're just like
I was so vexed. And then you know what made it worse? I then saw the highlights of the pen that they gave Clichy and McFadden. And I was like, come on. Then the Eduardo injury. Everything was just, it was a horrible day. And then on top of that, William Gallas sulks at the end of the match. And
on the opposite side of the pitch.
Bad day, Hamza.
Number 10 on his back as well.
Oh, God. That was definitely worse than last season, like 100%, no doubt.
That's when the title ended in February for you as well. You had so much going for you at the top for so long. Then we pipped you like that. Then Chelsea were there and they pipped you like that as well. Very, very difficult for Arsenal. Very, very difficult for you on your date as well, which was crazy. Young Matthew must have been in tatters afterwards as well. Goodness me. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking... Yeah, for that reason, we'll pop them on the list as well. I need to pop them on the list for comedic purposes. Arsenal 2008 as well. There we go. But yeah, that was a team where I really enjoyed watching Arsenal. Again, like I mentioned previously, I've got family who support Arsenal. So they were bigging up as well. Going to them on family holidays and stuff. And you're just like, oh yeah, we're going to win the league. Okay, cool. It is what it is. But Man United are playing well. Yeah. But Arsenal are going to win the league. Arsene Wenger's back with this young team. We've got the Emirates. We're buzzing. Oh, all right, cool. And then, as always, there's always a way that Arsenal end up being defeated, which is almost out of their control, which is a big thing indeed. Ooh. Right then, my turn to ask you about This is going to show our age a bit, but I don't want to put this team in there, but I want to put this team lower down, but I don't think I can relate to putting them lower down as well. Liverpool 2013, 2014. The first time we saw Liverpool genuinely challenge for the league.
Ooh.
Suarez, Sturridge, Sterling, Coutinho, Steven Gerrard. Ah. Oh. Bless up Chris Damble, bless up Demba Ba, bless up Brendan Rodgers for messing up that title race and for being arrogant, and bless up Steven Gerrard for slipping. I love it. I love this game. And bless up Jose Mourinho for celebrating at Anfield like that as well. We also love to see it. Let's say your thoughts, Matthew, on this one, because this one, again, I'm liking this of sharing stories of where we were on certain days, and I've got a story about one of these games in the season as well. So by all means, fire away. Do you think they should be on this list, and where do you think they should be on this list?
I think they should. And as well, I feel like whatever team you support or supported we all witnessed what that team did, and we were all just in awe. Like, the way they used to play it as well, they would have, like, Coutinho in the little 10, and then the Sterling swap. It was unbelievable. The pace, the controller games they had. All right, cool, they used to concede, but they could score 6 if they needed to at any point. And I think there was something that said their games overall involved 140-something goals or 150-something goals altogether. But it was madness. Man, like, if you scored 2, they could have gone and scored 5, 6, whenever they wanted. And I do feel they were so deserving of that league title. Like, they really were. But it was just Mourinho, wasn't it? It was just a Mourinho performance by Chelsea that just took that away from them. And do you remember the celebration as well?
Yeah, literally going back to the opposite end of the clock, and he's just celebrating going down, and Willian scoring that second goal. Could have given it to Torres, but Torres gave it to Willian because he didn't want that hate, as he did against Liverpool as well. And it was really, really funny to see how Brendan Rodgers was so confident in press conferences. He was like, yeah, I'm one of the best young managers in Britain. Now where is he? Celtic? 10 years on?
Yeah.
He could have been the best coach in Britain, Brendan Rodgers. If he kept his knack, Brendan Rodgers would have been the best, most talked about manager in England. But that David Brent inside of him got out, and he got a bit gassed about it as well. Gassed before actually winning. He followed Steven Gerrard's hype of, let's not let this effing slip. We go off to Norwich, get 3 points there. They went off to Crystal Palace away. Chris Danball. This is why Liverpool versus Crystal Palace is always a televised game, because of that game where Liverpool winning 3-0. And then they drop it 3-3. Dwight Gale, my boy, Dwight Gale. Luis Suarez crying on the pitch as well. And Steven Gerrard like, go away, camera, like that. And
let me test your ball knowledge. Who scored the other Palace goal?
Ooh. I need to know the team, but I'm going to go out on a hunch.
Because Dwight Gale scored 2, right?
Dwight Gale scored 2. Who was that?
I think
I'm going to Google now. My hand is out. I'm going to Google that 3-3 one.
I think it was. Was it not like a defender that banged it, like Delaney or something from far?
It was one Delaney. Defender. It was Delaney.
Come on!
He scored an own goal in that game as well, Delaney.
Come on, rate me. Matt knows ball, get me.
Matt knows Crystal Palace football, which is good. Very, very good indeed. I'm looking at this team as well, and you're thinking, this is a crazy team. They had Marouane Chamakh left mid.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jason Puncheon. Oh, my days. This is crazy. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, wait, they didn't have him left mid. That's a lie. BBC Sport are gassing. It was Bolasie left mid, Chamakh. Chamakh was up front, Puncheon on the right. Yeah, BBC are bugging on this app. I don't know what they're talking about, but yeah, crazy moments for Liverpool. Fantastic season for them. Remember, it is the first season after Sir Alex Ferguson had retired. So everyone in the Premier League's got their backs up. They're like, you know what? We can make this our title, our own. We're seeing Man United sit to 5th to 6th, and they finished in 7th under David Moyes. They're like, yeah, we're going to make some memories now as well. But it wasn't the right kind of memories for Liverpool. It was the right kind of memories for Yaya Toure and Manchester City and Manuel Pellegrini in his first season at the Etihad Stadium as well. So, yeah, Liverpool make the list for this one, for this 2013-2014 team. And I think we're good there as well. All right, then. I believe it's your turn for me. As in, you get to throw one to me.
I'm going to go with... Let me check this one at you. That'd be got too far back for you, I think. 95-96 are too far. You'll know what team I'm going to check if I did that. That's too far for you.
Newcastle.
Yeah.
I think unanimously we have to put Newcastle win, but we'll talk about them later because they were a very, very good team.
We'll go back to that. Okay. What about... Let's do it anyway. Let's go to Arsenal. Let's go last season, 22-23 season. Let's talk about that one.
Personally, I don't think they get into this list for me.
Ooh.
I'm looking at a lot of these teams that have made it, not even into second, but to third as well. I was talking about some of these teams that got to third as well. And you're thinking about it and you're like, did they really deserve to be there? This Arsenal team, though, whilst we talk about them as well, a season too early, in my opinion, because they were nearly there. But everyone will say that they bottled the league, but I don't think they bottled the league at all. I think they just lacked that killer experience because it is a young team. It is a fresh team. And that's what the whole point of Mikel Arteta's project is about, bringing in young players to develop a squad over the next 5-10 years who can then be known as the ones who brought Arsenal back to the top heights of English football as well. They're still in their infancy at the time. Bukayo Saka literally is an infant child when you're looking at him play. Gabriel Martinelli was fantastic. Martin Odegaard, one of the youngest ever captains at Arsenal. And we've seen that before with Arsenal, having young captains in Cesc Fabregas, having them literally lead them from midfield as well. And they were absolutely fantastic. But buying players from Manchester City, hand-me-downs from Pep and Gabriel Jesus and Alexander Zinchenko, and you're looking at it thinking, this is a very, very good team. And I know as the season carried on and on and on and on, and you're like, Man City will catch up, Man City will catch up, Man City will catch up. Then it got to around March time and you're thinking, maybe not. But then that's where the mind games start. And this is what I was telling Travis about on the group chat as well. When managers publicly look like they're defeated, you know as well it's a show for the camera. It's a show for social media. Yeah. It's a show for opposition fans. And it's a show for opposition players, more importantly. Because there was a time when it was England duty and Bukayo Saka went to England duty and Jack Grealish and Kyle Walker went over to Bukayo Saka. And they were congratulating him on winning the league in March. They're like, oh, well done, you've beaten us, we're no longer there. Pep Guardiola also said the same things, like, congratulations, Mikel Arteta, well ahead of us now, we can't compete. They were only around 7-point, 8-point difference with still 10 games to go. And they hadn't played each other yet. I remember going to my friend's house. It was after Ramadan as well. It was around April time last year. And I went specifically because I was going to the Emirates the next day for a networking event all day, which was fantastic. I mean, I should have said I specifically went to go see my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, but went for a networking event. I know they won't listen to this podcast, but it's all good. But I went to see my friend the night before in Enfield, which was great. We went for dinner. We were discussing the game as we used to do when we were kids, and we're doing it now as adults, which was great. Went back to his to watch the Arsenal game, and we're like, Man City are winning this. They're at home. There's no William Saliba, and Erling Haaland will turn up. It's actually Kevin De Bruyne who scored the goals, but Haaland had a really good way of playing against Gabriel. And I think it was Kiwior, centre-back?
Holden,
centre-back. Kiwior wasn't playing, even though I think he was better than Rob Holden at the time of speaking as well. And I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, this will still be okay. Arsenal's still ahead on points. You've still got enough time. And then you end up drawing to Southampton. You're drawing to West Ham as well. Very, very difficult. But it's one of those things that I was, from my point of view, obviously we didn't know each other at the time, Matthew, but at the time we weren't even podcasting, let alone know each other. But I was going through thinking, Arsenal fans are getting very, very confident because this is what their fans believe is the truth. And it's not the truth because it never is the truth. When you're looking at a lot from a social media lens as opposed to what you're in a dressing room with, you don't write off Pep Guardiola at all. Man United never wrote off Pep Guardiola when we were 1-1 in the Champions League final. Real Madrid never wrote off Pep Guardiola when they were facing him season in and season out. No one wrote him off in the Bundesliga because they couldn't. Borussia Dortmund couldn't lay a glove on him, which is crazy to think about. And Jurgen Klopp has learned that lesson year in, year out. Mikel Arteta had to learn it the hard way last season as well. And is definitely not falling for any tricks this season as well. I think Arsenal fans shouldn't be falling for any tricks. And I know you for a fact haven't, which is great. That's why I wanted to get your thoughts on this one as well. I think they won't make it into my list personally, but I know you'd probably want them on this list. So they may be a bit of a 10, 11-ish from our point of view. But let me hear your thoughts, Matthew, on Arsenal 2023 last season, see.
Yeah, it was a surreal season. See Saliba come to the fore. You know, for those that know, I've bigged them up for years and years and years, and you know, been proved right with that one. Martinelli come to the fore as well.
Just not that video. That's what I'm saying. Minus the video.
I don't know what ham videos Hamza talking about, guys. Wherever one it is, it's not that one.
It was the one against Kylian Mbappe when he was at Marseille and he stood tackle him on a 1-on-1. And that's when every Arsenal fan was gassing him up. It's like, oh yeah, he can keep up with Kylian Mbappe. He's going to be sick for us.
Nah, you know what? The day I knew he was going to be... To be fair, I watched him play for St. Etienne. He went on loan the first time. And he was fantastic then. And then he went to Marseille, and I think, yeah, that season, forget the tackle on Mbappe, just in general, he was solid. He was doing his thing. Martinelli was good. And it was a feel-good factor of Arsenal, you know. But you did still feel in the big games, like the Etihad, like when we lost, and Anfield, you know, that when we lost the league. But a lot of people...
Old Trafford.
One of the things for me, Old Trafford. But one of the things for me, Hamza, I always said that City still had that game in hand. It wasn't 8 points and level games. Mm. Let's not forget that. Also, the other thing was, if you remember, we were playing before City all the time, all the time, all the time.
They had that Champions League run as well, so they always playing that later Sunday just so they could recover.
Exactly. And then suddenly it changed. And then suddenly they started playing before us. Mm. And I remember, I'm seeing Arsenal players talking and everyone started believing it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And then you come out to like the season, and I think Grealish was saying where they'll talk to Saka and say, Saka, well done, you lot have done it. Mm. And that's the experience they've got. And like you said, I feel like we're a bit too naive. And I feel like the pressure did get to us in the last couple of games. But you know what? I'm slightly bottling it, yes, because we were ahead. But at the end of the day, it surpassed all my expectations. And if you look how we're doing this season, there's an upward trajectory. But there's no doubt about it.
And that Harden failure has literally become a burden for no one now at Arsenal. You're looking at it and thinking they're working within what they've learned from their experience last season. The Man City game was a prime example. Four centre-backs. Yeah, you defended really, really well against Manchester City. You cut off all the gaps in between where they would cross in and make tap-ins for Erling Haaland and De Bruyne on the edge of the box. You learned from your lessons. And it was great to see what you could actually do with these experiences. And it's very scary for the rest of the league, from my point especially, seeing how Arsenal will continue to grow with all of these young players coming through who are still mid-20s, like 24, 25, Odegaard, 23. Crazy to think about what you can achieve in the next 4 or 5 years now with this Arsenal team as well. Very exciting. That's why you stick with the manager, and that's why you stick with the projects as well. Because when you want to build something and you believe in a manager, you believe in a project, why would you want to get rid of him after fifth? You want to improve every single season. And annoyingly, I will say on camera, but Arsenal fans deserve this because they have been going through the trenches. Arsene Wenger built this team years ago over patience, and managers nowadays these days don't get any patience. And full credit to Arsenal for giving Mikel Arteta patience, because they could have dropped him for another manager. They didn't, and they're going to go for it. And Arteta will grow with this team, as we've seen year in, year out as well. So full credit to Arsenal. Unfortunately, I have to say it, but it's Ramadan. I'm not going to lie. It's a sin. Don't lie. It's a sin. But yeah, for me, they're not making my list. So they're going to be around 11th or so. I know Matthew will probably have them on the list, so we'll leave them here just in case as well. Oh, right then. My one to throw to you is... Ooh. I've got one for you. Man United, 2017-2018. 19 points off Manchester City. They may not make your top 10 list, but I want to hear your thoughts on this team, because Jose Mourinho said it's one of his best achievements, getting this Man United team second in the league behind Manchester City. Remember, you had a Jurgen Klopp Liverpool side. You had a fantastic looking Spurs side as well, respectively. But Jose Mourinho getting this Man United team second. Big achievement. Very, very big achievement. Romelu Lukaku, 27 goals in his first season as well. Paul Pogba absolutely balling out that season. Getting hated every single week for different haircuts, but he's a fantastic footballer. What's your thoughts, Matthew?
Is that the one, just, I want to make sure I'm getting it right here. So you had him, Pogba, was it Herrera there?
Herrera was there as well.
Herrera was there. Mata? No.
Mata was there, yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know what? It was a weirdish team, that one. But it was a type of team where you knew you could turn up at different grounds and just pick up results. Pogba, like you said, Pogba was balling. Absolutely balling back then. It was a weird year. It's a weird United team. I feel like because of the gap, it was just written off in terms of what United had. But like Mourinho said, 100%, what he did with that team to get them there, like, undeniably good. Undeniably good. I love that. At that point, that's when I was like, okay, Pogba, what am I, Arsenal? Obviously, it's sad to see what's happened with him now. Mm. And obviously, one matter, I think you guys signed him with the aim of having him do what he did at Chelsea. Was it double goals and assists?
Yes, yeah.
Was it? Yeah. again, which is what I thought he was going to do. And I thought he was quite, I think he was good at United, but there were times where he was getting taken out of the team, and I was like, I think Mata's just absolutely quality. He's very,
it was very difficult because you had Mata, you had Mkhitaryan, and you had Rooney in one season. Then that was a season before this one, which was Jose Mourinho. So Rooney went to Everton, we brought in Lukaku, and then in January, we brought in Alexis Sanchez. So then we had to fit Rashford into this team. We had to fit Martial into this team. Mata, we had to fit Sanchez in. Talking about laps up on charge. Mkhitaryan went to Arsenal as well. And then you're looking at it and you're just thinking, this team is now a mess. The first 6 months, we were fantastic. We were flying. Mata was flying. He's playing behind Lukaku, feeding him passes season. Seeing so many passes. Him and Pogba were balling out in midfield. Matic was a great addition that signing for Manchester United from Jose Mourinho as well. Fantastic signing for us. And then that Sanchez signing just flips it all over. We were all over the gaff. It was crazy.
I expected that one to bang. I expected that one to be wilder, that signing. You know, you look at the whole introduction, the piano and everything. I was like, oh, okay, go on. Boy, that went wrong. Terribly wrong. Oh, I'm just looking at the team now. You had, do you remember Joel Pereira, the goalkeeper?
Third choice goalkeeper. Or fourth choice goalkeeper.
You had him.
Mm.
Danny Blind, that's the one. Him and Chris Smalling. Yes.
Daley Blind, we had Matteo Darmian. And when you're looking at them now, Daley Blind is off in Girona, top three in La Liga. Matteo Darmian looks like he's going to win the Serie A with the Scudetto with Inter Milan. Chris Smalling, still going strong at Roma. Different defenders that we had at Manchester United. And you're kind of thinking, like, a lot more going for us at the time, but we just had never had such a... For me, post-Rex Ferguson, we never had such a solid team defensively than that team under Jose Mourinho. We did very, very well defensively that season to continue getting 1-0, 2-0 wins, not really getting embarrassed wherever we'd go. We'd take a 0-0 at Anfield. We'd take a draw at Stamford Bridge as well. And it would be something that we wouldn't have to worry about. I think we lost that season. Morata scored that season, that 1-0 win, which was crazy to think about. But again, good team, but I won't expect you to put them in the top 10, but I think it was a good team title list as well, which is good. Right, then.
I've got one for you. Liverpool 2008-2009. This team, again, they used to annoy the hell out of me.
Rafa Benitez back season. That's when he was like winning 3-0 against Blackburn Rovers, and then he was like, it's finished, it's done on the touchline. He's celebrating in March, like he's like, oh yeah, we're gonna win the league. Did not happen. I don't want this Liverpool side in here at all. Nowhere near for me. They lacked class, they lacked elegance, they lacked personality compared to the other Liverpool teams that we've spoken about under Brendan Rodgers and Jurgen Klopp, respectively. And I'm thinking, I know they had Alonso Mascherano, they had John Arnarisa. No, they had Aurelio Torres as well. Fantastic, but can't have this team in my list, unfortunately, as well. Not it for me at all. You know what team I think we should have? Before we go on to the Newcastle one, and we've got one more Man United one I think we could put in. One more Newcastle one. Maybe two Man United ones. We'll discuss the second one. Arsenal 2016. We spoke about Spurs finishing third. Arsenal.
Don't want to talk about it.
So difficult. That was a season where Arsenal Fan TV skyrocketed. That's where Robbie got to make his millions in people complaining every single week. Losing to Man United with all of the kids at home as well. Losing to Swansea, losing to Stoke away. So many difficult times. And it was a time when you're thinking, Wenger out was basically part of every football fan's vocabulary. I've had enough, Robbie, was a basic terminology on social media that you've seen all the time as well. It's because of Arsene Wenger's Arsenal team where you had Olivier Giroud missing so many chances, Walcott missing so many chances. Mesut Ozil was absolutely flying. He should have got the assist record and then some. He should have broken it by a country mile, but he didn't because of the strikers and the lack of conviction up front. Embarrassing to see. Talk as much as you want about it, Matthew, but I think this team deserves to be on this list for me. Maybe a 9, maybe an 8, but I think no, fantastic to watch. Remember, they obliterated Man United 3-0 at Old Trafford. No, 3-0 at the Emirates. Absolutely fantastic. Sanchez, Ozil, Walcott, Cazorla, balling out all season long.
Yeah, but man, do you know, that was a frustrating one because 2016 was that finish. I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah, we lost stupid games that one. That game, that United game, we bossed it. Absolutely bossed it. Oh, I think that's the one where Sanchez flicked it, wasn't it? That flicked it. And it went in past De Gea before he knew. But yeah, just very, very frustrating. You know, over the years as an Arsenal fan, I've been through years where I'm just like, seriously, is this what you're doing to us? You know, because as an Arsenal fan, I remember we used to win them games and then the Swansea away would struggle and would lose that random home game to someone, you know,
like that Crystal Palace would drop points at home or something, like a 0-0 or 1-1.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing? And yeah, like you said, that was the AFTV stuff. Kind of startup thing where it's like, what's happening to the games? After the games, everyone's going mad. And you can even see, that's when all these content guys used to do FTV, look young back then, all complaining, rubby. but yeah, it was a tough time to watch that team. Oh, I've been through the mill with these a lot, honestly.
Tough times never last. It's true. Very, very true. Right then, I'm looking at our list and it looks like there's a few that are dead certain, but I reckon we've got space for one more each if you want to put a personal choice in. So going through this list again, Arsenal team in 99, definitely on. United in 2012, definitely on. Spurs 2015-16, definitely on. Liverpool 18-19, definitely on. Chelsea, yes. 2008. Arsenal 2008. We've got around six that are definitely on. We've got four spaces for four more. So I think we could got two spaces each for who we want. I'm back in my case for Manchester United in 1995.
1995, that was... No.
That was Cantona, Andy Cole, Andrej Kanchelskis.
Loved him. Oh, my God. Kanchelskis, baller.
Peter Schmeichel, 20 clean sheets that season as well. Winning 9-0 against Ipswich. Man City winning 5-0 at home as well. We finished 1 point behind Blackburn Rovers back in 1995. I spoke to a BBC producer last year as well at a networking event. And she was like, as a Man United fan, if you could do one documentary on a Man United team in the past, what team would you want it to be on? And I said, the 1994-1995 Manchester United team that finished behind Alan Shearer and Chris Sutton's Blackburn Rovers, because that team was a special team that was so dominant. Finished 1 point behind Blackburn Rovers. I believe we couldn't beat West Ham away at Upton Park. And that's why Sir Alex Ferguson always had a distaste for West Ham United, because after the game, he was saying how all of the players were still giving their autographs to fans, West Ham and Man United fans alike, and the West Ham fans were tearing them up in front of their faces. As I remember that as motivation, saying it to Cantona, to Andy Cole, to Kanchelskis, to Giggs. You had a young Paul Scholes, Nicky Button, that team as well, a young Roy Keane as well. Next season is when we brought in a lot more players from the academy, Plus 92 were coming through as well. And you're looking at it thinking, yeah, now I know why Man United fans don't like West Ham, because of what happened that day in 1995 at Upton Park. We drew against West Ham United. We could have won the league, but we didn't. And it was very, very difficult for us, Sir Alex Ferguson, to go, oh yeah, you know what? We're fine. We'll come back. He's like, no, come back with a vengeance. Come back with ferocity in you. Sir Alex Ferguson mattered. And he definitely did as well at the time. But yeah, I think it's the team I want in my list as well. So if we got a wild card pick each, I would say I definitely want this team. From personal preference, into this list as well. I'm not going to say it's a bit before my time. It was the beginning of my time. If you want to calculate your age, you can absolutely do it from this one as well. So I'm keeping this one in as well, which is great to see.
No, that's a good one. No, I respect that one. I feel, yeah. Was it 2-0 you lost to West Ham?
No, we drew. We drew West Ham finally. Yeah. Well, we should have won.
I've got one. I don't think it's going to go in it, but I think this team deserve credit. Leeds United, 1999-2000. When they finished third, I think. No, but I liked that team. Like, I had a thing. No one asked me why. And it's so just, there's something.
I'm surprised you're not actually from Leeds, you know, like you didn't grow up near Harrogate or something like that, with the affinity you have for like Ian Hart and Mark Viduka, Paul Robinson as a goalkeeper, like you mentioned previously. as well. You must have had a thing for Leeds and like the reel we posted today, Deportivo La Coruña. It's like you lived in the early 2000s on these retro teams back. I love it personally. It's fantastic, but I'm just like...
No, but you know, we're going to go slightly off topic. Speaking of that Deportivo La Coruña, it was them and it was Valencia that used to bug me. And it's like a PTSD thing. As I said, I remember that Deportivo lineup when they used to have Jelminha, Valeron. I don't know what it was about Valeron. I used to like watching him play. And Luque, loved it. And then that Valencia team, Canizares, one of my favourite defenders, what was his name? Roberto Ayala.
Mm.
Yeah? Loved him at the back. Him, Pellegrino, was it right? Am I right? Pellegrino.
Pablo Aimar as well.
Aimar, Vicente, Barraga, Albelda. Come on. Do you remember a player called Rafete?
Yes, Rafete was a baller. Let's go.
Come on.
Copper 90 always do photo focuses on some of these players as well. And you're just like, this is crazy to think about.
I love them type of players. But yeah, that's the same way I feel about Leeds. I feel like the only thing I didn't like about Leeds is when they come to Emirates and score that goal where Harry Kewell smacked that half volley and it kind of zoomed into the bottom corner. Eddie Gray as manager. Is it grandson or nephew playing now? Archie Gray? Is that grandson, I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
Archie. So yeah, that Leeds team, because I loved Viduka, I loved everything about that Leeds team. Eric Bakker, everyone remember him?
What about the Leeds team that beat Arsenal in 2003 at the Highbury as well? Because I thought that Arsenal team was fantastic, and we were going down to almost the final day of the season until Leeds United beat 3-2. Great Arsenal team though, the season before the Invincibles as well.
Mark Viduka, no thank you. No.
Honestly. Alan Smith.
But Leeds, by the way, at Leeds, he was fantastic. And do you remember when he started at United? He started very well. He did.
It's until he got injuries at Man United. Yeah. He won a serious one against Liverpool, which ruined his career completely.
Yeah. Good player, man. Good player.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yes, your Leeds United side from the year 2000, on the turn of the century. What's so special about them?
Do you know what? I think was that the season they made Champions League as well? They finished third, made Champions League as well. Mm. And as I said, they had the team where it was like, they didn't have world superstars, but they put in performances. Ellen Road was rocking. Remember when your team used to go away to Ellen Road? It was a tough, tough game. My guy Ian Hart, wonder of a left foot. You had Viduka, you had Alan Smith, Lucas Radebe as well.
Baller.
Lucas Radebe. Nigel Martin, original keeper, Gary Kelly. I think it was Haaland there. I think he was, isn't it?
Alfie Haaland, backup player. He was at Man City as well. Remember, Man City was there in the early 2000s as well, which was a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know what it is about Leeds. I like them, man. I remember everyone tried to get a yellow kit. By the way, I'm a full Arsenal fan, guys, in case anyone's wondering. But yeah, I had a thing for Leeds. I really, really did.
I'm just Googling now. Haaland, Leeds, Rear. It's not coming up with proper ones as well. Never mind. It is what it is, but it'll come up eventually. But yeah, that's a team that I wouldn't really put in personally, but if you want to put it in as a wildcard pick, by all means you can, unless you want to put another Arsenal one in as well. But there is a Newcastle team that we have to talk about. A very, very big one. Regarding Newcastle United under Kevin Keegan. Famously going on to Sky Sports and saying, I would love it if we beat them. I'd love it. We've got to go to Middlesbrough away. They've got to get something there. They've got to fight. I would love it if we beat them. And it forever stays there as well. I can't find these stats on Erling Haaland. By the way, everyone, when we said Haaland, we didn't mean Erling Haaland. We meant his dad, Haaland as well. I'm trying to find his career.
Kevin Keegan, by the way. I met Kevin Keegan. Yeah.
You what? When did you meet Kevin Keegan? Elaborate.
I met Kevin Keegan, man. So,
did he come to
secondary
what?
School now? No, secondary school. Secondary school, we had like a great football team back then, and we had this coaching weekend coming.
Mm.
And my schoolmates that watch this will know as well. I remember they were just like England, and they're like England legends coming in. And this little short little guy come, because remember England used to wear them tracksuits back in the day.
The really big
dark blue one. Yeah, and he walked in And I remember we started doing shooting drills. This is the best part, Hamza. He was doing practice shooting against me.
My God.
Hamza, I made a couple of saves, and I remember he was like, "You're a good keeper, ain't you?" Oh, I was so excited.
Kevin Keegan, Ballon d'Or winner. Yeah. Kevin Keegan was shooting crazy. Against you. Yeah, young Matthew saved crazy. A few shots against. I will never discredit you as a goalkeeper after you told me that.
You can't put respect to my name, you know.
Why have you never told me this? Oh, you've left it for the episode. This episode is full of hangers in Matthew's life. What an autobiography you've got so far.
Love it.
Crazy.
Love it. Then I could have bring up the John Cena story, but that's for another day. That's for another day. But yeah.
That's incredible. By the way, this finally loaded on Wikipedia. Erling Haaland's dad, played for Leeds between 1997 and 2000. Then from 2000, he moved to Manchester City. So he was in that Leeds team at the time of speaking as well, which was great to see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Newcastle United, what a team they had. Again, I'm not going to say before my time because it was around the time when young Hams was not watching football, but it is what it is. 3 loss to Liverpool, probably one of the best games in Premier League history. Colin Moore at the death, I believe it was as well. Les Ferdinand, 25 goals in the season. Oh, this is where Newcastle were. This is where Newcastle, before the Saudi money, they would always pin their hopes on what a manager Kevin Keegan was, what a striker Les Ferdinand was, signing Alan Shearer because they sold Andy Cole to Manchester United. Incredible side they had. Absolutely incredible side. Newcastle United had Gary Speed as well. Rob Lee. Oh, crazy. What an absolute talented team they had. And remember, they're 12 points clear with 15 games remaining in January as well. They're 12 points clear in Man United. And Man United had to catch them. Cantona coming back and scoring, I believe, at the death against Manchester City away as well. Roy Keane scoring as well. Crazy to think about this season. I remember having a VHS video of it as well. Watching all of these great goals of Man United. Cantona scoring. Cantona with a pass. Roy Keane scoring in the last minute. This is why I'll never accept Roy Keane's slander. Because everyone thinks, oh yeah, he's just a passionate, hard guy. He's angry on TV. Roy Keane could ball. Bam. Unreal technical ability that he had as well. This was a season where Man United, you couldn't win anything with kids. Alan Hansen, Beckham won it. Giggs won it. Scholes won it. Butt won it. Phil Neville won it. Gary Neville won it. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So that Newcastle team, that wasn't the season when Philippe Albert loved Schmeichel, was it?
No, that was... It might have been.
Or was that...
Newcastle 5-0. Let's have a look.
Yeah, that goal is one of my all-time favourites. What he did there... Season after,
97. So rude. Well, October 1996, but it was around 96-97 season, which is crazy.
And big up Newcastle as well, because they had a keeper in there representing them. You know, they used to nickname me him Shaka. Shaka Hislop, you know, that's rude, isn't it? I can nickname me Shaka Hislop.
That's so, just because you have the same skin tone as Shaka Hislop. That's lazy editing from your friend. Poor racism there. Very, very poor racism.
Exactly.
Newcastle 96. Because
no, that team was good.
Sorry, you were saying.
No, I was going to say that team was from Ginola, Gillespie, Rob Lee. Was Beardsley there as well?
Yeah, Peter Beardsley.
Man, like Peter. Oh my gosh. Yeah, good team.
Good team indeed. Right, it looks like we've got 10, but I think there's one more team I think we have to mention. I don't want to mention them. I've been holding off. Until last as well. I was going to say the Man United 1998 team, and I was going to say the Man United 2002 team, but it's going to sound weird now after I mentioned those two. I didn't have to word it like that. Silly me. It's what Ramadan does to me. Liverpool, again, 2022. Manchester City won it, but Liverpool 2022, when they were competing for the quadruple that season, they won the FA Cup, they won the League Cup, lost the Champions League final to Real Madrid. So that fantastic goal from Vinicius Jr. Nah, you know what? This is our list. I don't want them in there. There's no energy for me for this team as well. Let's leave them out. Unless you have a good reason to keep them in.
Leave him out.
That's all good. But I had an affinity to the Arsenal team in 2003. I know they didn't win the league, and they won the league the season afterwards. I really like that team. The one that won the FA Cup, Robert Pirès' goal. That was a fantastic team to watch. And remember, you won the season before.
Southampton, isn't it?
Yeah, final at Cardiff. Will Tord goal at Old Trafford the season before that as well. It was a good run for Arsenal. But
I loved that as well, by the way. I loved that whole...
You're an Arsenal fan, but from a rival fan, someone who hated Arsenal, wouldn't talk to my family members who support Arsenal. Fantastic team to watch, really.
Question for you, though. Yeah. Do you feel that they should do what they used to do with the FA Cup when they used to play at two separate venues and then went to Wembley? I think they should.
Don't know why they would change it. They only changed it because they wanted more money from Wembley to pay off Wembley. Simple as that.
I loved it, man. Because remember them Villa Park games? Arsenal, man, listen. Oh, I couldn't beat it, man. And it was Old Trafford, the other venue, wasn't it?
Yeah. So you had a game against Sheffield United one time. Yeah. And David Seaman made one of the best saves ever, keeping the ball out against Sheffield United.
I've done plenty of them saves, man. It doesn't matter.
No, against Kevin Keegan as well, which is a big thing.
Come on, I stand on business, remember that.
Right then, let's make our top 10 list, because I've got a few names who want to get into this. Right, we've got quite a lot of names in here, so I've got to go, let's go 10. Right, 10, where are we going, Matthew?
10, we'll go with, no, we agree, who, what I'm trying to, was it, we did the 10 one. I think we did that as, not Arsenal. Who was that?
Oh, it's going to be very difficult. Right, let me write it down on my phone as opposed to on Zoom. I can keep it all on here. Right. Actually, should I do it the other way around? One, for dramatic purposes. Two. Right, the best team to not win the league. I'm going to go down this way. 7.
Eight. So we could go...
Right, with the teams that we want to put in, by the way, listeners, you can tell we're recording such late at night that we're both tired. My hair is changing so many different times in this podcast, and our eyes are both bloodshot red, but we're doing this for your entertainment. Right.
Right.
First of all, we'll go from what we said on the Zoom and what we said in order. Arsenal team 98-99. I want to put this team, personally, at 3. I think they were fantastic. What do you think?
Obviously, it's 4, but then we've got the Liverpool, United. Yeah, okay, go 3. Do 3, that one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Spurs team, 2015-2016. 6-7. There's also a case for them in 16-17, but I think they finished 4th, so that's not really a big thing. Man United 2011-2012. I would say 9.
Is that the last day?
That's the Aguero one. Yeah.
Yeah, 9. Yeah.
Yeah. Man United 2011-2012. Cool. Liverpool 2018-2019.
Good team.
Very, very good team. Great manager as well. I'm thinking 2.
Yeah, definitely 2. Yeah, yeah. High. That one high.
Very 18. 19. Chelsea 2007-2008. Avram Grant.
That one could go 7. I would maybe say.
I was thinking 5 for that one.
I don't know. Do you know what it is? I know that team had experience. Got a Champions League final, yeah, and being at home, but just a bit meh. Do you know what? Let's do 5, but when we see what we put 7, we'll see if we can swap it.
No worries. Chelsea 2007, 2008. Then we've got Arsenal 2008 as well. So you finished 3rd that season.
That was...
Before the Eduardo injury.
Yeah. That one may be seven.
Arsenal, 2007, 2008. 2008, it's fine. Then we've got Liverpool, 2013, 2014.
That was a good team. Good team.
Could put them four. Four is available.
I was going to say, is there someone in three?
Arsenal, 98, 99. Arsenal,
99, yeah, four.
Liverpool, 13, 14. There we go. So now we've got 8, 10, and 1 still available. Number 1 is still available. And the last one we discussed was Newcastle, 1996.
8, 10, and 1. I think Newcastle can go, I think 8, because I think it was an entertaining team, man. For instance, in classic games, 8.
You guys playing 96. Sweet. 10 and 1. 1, I want to put my Man United 1995 team there. Personally. I'm looking at that team. Cantona, Andy Cole. You've got Andriy Kanchelskis, Ryan Giggs, Roy Keane, Sir Alex Ferguson, who had just won the league as well. Incredible team that we had. Fantastic manager.
Who was the back four then? Was it Erwin, Pallister, Bruce?
Gary Neville. You know, yeah, man.
And I love Erwin. I love Dennis Erwin.
He doesn't get the hype he deserves because it was before the social media praise and everything. I think he's a better left back than ever was, personally. Fantastic ball player. Scored penalties, scored free kicks as well. Fantastic.
Amazing. Both feet, you know.
Fantastic. Yeah. Inverted left back before it was common.
Before anyone, man like Dennis. So if we put them one, who would be 10?
10, I would leave to you because we've spoken a lot about Arsenal. But me personally, I think there's still room for another Arsenal one that we've not mentioned yet. The 2003 Arsenal team was so fantastic, but I know you want to mention the 2022 one. But I'll leave that with you.
Do you know what? The one, but you know what, we said two for that Liverpool. That Liverpool one could have been one as well, you know. That Liverpool one could be one.
But I don't want Liverpool at the top. Do you?
I know you don't want Liverpool at the top. But
I think that 95 Man United team beats that Liverpool team in 2019. Personally, I think they would. Cantona. Remember, he beat them in the FA Cup final as well. Last minute goal. Yeah.
Because David James's fault, bro. He can't
Spice Boys couldn't do it at all. I look better in white than Jamie Redknapp did in white. Come on, we know this, and I know this.
Listen, Hamza knows ball and dress sense.
Fashion is good during Ramadan. It goes after Ramadan. My fashion sense is only good during Ramadan at all. It's crazy.
Now, do you know what? I feel like it's tough because I think that honestly, Hamza, that Liverpool team. Obviously, you know them being rivals. Yeah, amazing team. I would say Liverpool first, you know, and the Man United one second.
I'm looking through it as well. I'm thinking, did we miss any of them as well? A lot of teams. Spurs, Liverpool, Newcastle. No, we did our homework with a lot of these teams. Liverpool again. Liverpool 2002, apparently. Chelsea 1999, apparently. Leeds 2000, you mentioned it as well.
Yes, come on.
I mentioned Man United 2018. That's also mentioned. Sir Alex Ferguson's one. Arsenal 2015. 15 was before. 15 was the Chelsea season. Aston Villa 1993. Oh, that's a big one. Not mentioned Aston Villa. I mean, Salem's not here. He could have fought for Aston Villa, but he didn't. But no, those are some other teams that we did and mention as well.
Yeah, do you know? I'd go that Liverpool 1-1. You know, honestly, I feel like that Liverpool team mad.
It's true because we finished runners up in the FA Cup as well that season as well. Yeah. Crazy to think about, but remember that team was a very, very good team with Man United. Cantona, we had young Paul Scholes coming through. We had some fantastic players. Dennis Irwin, Mark Hughes as well. People forget Mark Hughes was a baller at Manchester United as a striker. Let me do a little bit of a thing for the reels, just so our audience can get it as well. By the way, who are we putting at number two? Who are we putting at 10, by the way?
I think we can squeeze in the Arsenal one for the nostalgia, comedic value.
Which one?
Oh, no, did we say 2007, 2008? Or even chucking the
Arsenal 2007-8 is already in there. You put that at seven.
Put that at seven. There was another Arsenal one I'm missing, I think.
2022 or 2003? Which one are you going for?
Let's do 2022.
Nice. Yeah, Odegaard captain. Right, then. Right, let's do this for the real. This will be something that will clip. If you're listening to this as a podcast, we apologize, but it's going to be easy for me to edit it, especially during Ramadan as well. What is the greatest Premier League team to not win the Premier League? Personally, for me, I think it's got to be Manchester United 1994 and 1995, when you had a team with Eric Cantona, Andrei Kanchelskis, Sir Alex Ferguson as manager, but they finished runners-up to Blackburn Rovers with Alan Shearer, Chris Sutton, fantastic Blackburn Rovers side. Man United lost in the final game of the season. They lost the lead, sorry. I think they drew against West Ham at home, which is crazy to think about. We were runners-up in the FA Cup final as well against Everton of all teams, which is worrying to see at the same time. But Matthew here believes there is another team who was probably the best team in the Premier League history not to win the Premier League. So, Matthew, who are you thinking?
For me, it's got to be Liverpool 2018-2019 season. Mm. I thought I had a fantastic season. Alisson, Golden Glove, Mane, Salah scoring the goals. I think it was 27-26 or 27-27, however it was, because I thought they shared a Golden Boot. 97 points in the league. Honestly, fantastic. I think Van Dijk was there in the team of the year as well. Everything they were doing was just
touching. Wasn't it a season where Ballon d'Or Van Dijk as well? Oof. That's crazy.
Exactly. Ballon d'Or, and I think that was at the season when he did that pass at Allianz to Mane. The one. Yeah.
Great kick, Mane.
That one. So, and I think there was a gap to City before of 25 points, and they showed, we're going to be relentless now. They were just undone by the company Thunderbolt that he's never done in his career.
They were undone by that John Stones clearance off the line. Remember, that was a literal difference. Man City versus Liverpool, Kyle Walker, John Stones kept the ball off from going from a Sadio Mane goal as well, which is crazy to think about now.
The margins. And I just feel like everything that team had, the pace, the power, the speed, everything, it was just an incredible team. And yeah, they deserve a hell of a lot of credit. And unfortunately, they were just beaten by a superior team or this machine named Man City. But yeah, it's got to be that one over Man United for me. It has to be number one.
115 charges, Manchester City as well, which is when they've been accused of all the charges at the time as well. So maybe Liverpool could win a few Premier League titles after these charges are done by Manchester City. But yeah, I'd like to know everyone's thoughts on this one as well, because it has been a very, very tough debate going through a lot of these teams. We've gone through so many of them as well. Again, I'm still back in Man United 1995. Remember finishing 1 point behind Blackburn Rovers. Alan Shearer, goal machine. 34 goals in that Premier League title winning season for Blackburn Rovers as well. Eric Cantona scored 12 goals. Andy Cole scored 12 goals. Andrea Kanchelskis scored 15 goals. And we tried to sign Alan Shearer from Blackburn Rovers, and it didn't work. But we end up signing someone called Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and history will tell you that it was a pretty good signing from Molde as well for the young Norwegian striker, which is good. But yeah, everyone, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. It's late for us at the time of recording, as you can tell by my lack of speech, but we hope you all have had a fantastic Ramadan, have a fantastic Eid, have a great week of watching Champions League football, Premier League football's back. And again, thank you very much all for your time. Matthew, thank you very much, as always, my friend. Big pleasure. Any closing messages for our audience as well?
Listen, it was a pleasure being on the show again. And I love doing these type of debates. Honestly, just the nostalgia factor and everything is amazing. But yeah, coming you Gunners.
So I don't know who I'm supporting this time, but I'm wearing white. So yeah, it's all good. It's all good indeed. But everyone, thank you very much for listening. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Peace.